Well, good evening. It's lovely to see you once again in the house of the Lord. Let's commence tonight by turning to the psalm section of our hymn book, the Psalm 33. The Psalm 33, you'll find it on page 29. We'll sing the opening nine verses of the psalm together. Ye righteous in the Lord, rejoice. It comely is and right that upright men with thankful voice should praise the Lord of might. Psalm 33, the opening nine verses. We'll sing together, please.
Thank you.
unite together around the throne of grace in prayer and seek the Lord's face afresh tonight. Every head, every heart bowed before the Lord. Let us come into His presence. Father, in heaven we bow before Thee. We thank Thee this night that we can say with the truth that Thou art a great God, and Thou art greatly to be praised. We thank Thee this night that we are coming before the great God of heaven and of earth, even as we have been singing the One who spoke and it was done, the One who spoke all things into existence. We thank Thee for the control, and we thank Thee for the power, the understanding, the wisdom, the knowledge of God. And Father, we just simply come in wonder and amazement at the greatness of our God in heaven. And we come rejoicing that we can know Thee, for Thou hast revealed Thyself to us in Scripture. We thank Thee for the Word of God that we have, that we can carry even to this house, that we can read it, whether it be publicly or privately. We can study it, we can meditate upon it, we can learn it, and O God, we can obey it. We thank Thee for the living Word of God. We thank Thee that Thou hast revealed Thyself to us, and yea, Thou hast revealed ourselves to us. For we acknowledge that we are sinful, but we thank Thee that where sin abounds, grace doth yet more abound. We thank Thee, O God, for the grace of God in our lives personally, for the day and hour that many can testify that they were plucked up out of the miry clay and their feet were set upon the rock, Christ Jesus. We thank Thee that we can say that He established our goings. And He put a new song in our mouths, even praise unto the Lord. And Father, even as we gather tonight, enable us to give thanks unto our God. Warm our hearts within us, O God. Stir us up that we might worship Thee with our whole hearts and our minds, our strength, our bodies, that we might give ourselves unto Thee in worship. O Father, remember us for good, we pray Thee. We thank Thee for the day that we have together each week. O God, this the Lord's day to remember, to rejoice that Christ is risen. To gather together to hear the Word of God, to gather together to hear the Gospel preached. And Father, as we are here in Thy house tonight, bless us and meet with us. Even in the even time, abide with us. And O God, that we will know the speaking voice and the power of God, the Holy Spirit, even in our midst. Lord, remember each one that is here, bless them, be unto them all that they would need. Remember every home, every family. Remember every individual need that there is within each house. O God, all have burdens and trials, tribulations, concerns that weigh heavy upon mind and upon heart. O Lord, that Thou wilt presence Thyself with each one, that grace which is sufficient will be known in these days. Remember those of our congregation that are sick. We spread them afresh before Thee, be unto them all that they would need, whether they be at home or in hospital. Remember those of our elderly that are in nursing homes. Remember, O God, those that are mourning at this time. O Father, be near to them. Bless, and Lord, may they know the arms of God upholding them and strengthening them, and yea, carrying them even in these days. O Father, remember each work. Remember each need that there is. We think of this church. O God, we spread the need of the various works again before Thee. Bless in these days. Bless all of the work amongst children. Bless all of the work amongst the youth. We think even tonight of the opportunity for the young people, even in our various churches, to gather together to have fellowship. Lord, bless that time. Strengthen the bonds between Christians. Strengthen the bonds between Thy children. And, O Father, undertake and encourage each one in these days. Lord, bless us tonight. Pour out Thy Spirit upon us. Meet with us. Protect us. Keep the devil out of this meeting. Keep every distraction out of this meeting. Help us, O God, to fix our minds and our eyes, O God, and our hearts upon Thee. And we'll be careful to give Thee the praise and all of the glory. Bless us in these moments together. In Jesus' name, amen. The hymn number 29 is our second item of praise this evening. The hymn 29, the pages 187, O Day of Rest and Gladness. O day of joy and light, O balm of care and sadness, most beautiful most bright. The hymn 29, again we'll stand as we sing, please. Ever sang that hymn in my life before, but certainly there were wonderful words even to bring us to consider the reason for the Sabbath day, bring us to consider the Lord of light, and bring us to consider the greatness even of our God. Let me welcome each one this evening to the house of God. It's good to see you with us tonight. We welcome you in the Saviour's name, and we pray that the Lord will be with us and the Lord will bless us as we're found in his house again this evening. I'm mindful at the minute that these announcements every Sunday are quite lengthy. I do my best to keep them as short as possible, but September is turning out to be a very, very busy month. And if every month ends up as busy as September, then the whole year is going to go like a blink. So it is. But let me just remind you of the meetings that are taking place. Young people tonight at 8:45 in Cumber Free Church is a Northdown Young Adults Rally. And as we mentioned this morning, I'm scheduled to speak at it, but we do encourage all of our young people. There are lifts available, and if you'd like to go tonight, please do mention to us. We want to have all of our young people even having that fellowship together as often as possible. And so if you're interested in going, please do mention to us at the door, and there are lifts available for each one. We do mention the meetings in the will of the Lord in the incoming week. Tomorrow morning begins the parent and toddlers, 10:30. Through to noon, and keep that before the Lord in your prayers, that the Lord will bless and even give the increase in that particular work. Wednesday night we meet for Bible study and for prayer in the upper room, and we give that invitation to each one to come aside during the week and have that time around God's word and around the throne of grace in prayer. Thursday night we have that special time for all of the workers, special season of prayer from 8 until 9. And let me invite and encourage anyone and everyone who is involved in the work of the Lord, all of the leaders of the works, all of the workers within them, to even give themselves this Thursday night. We want to commence the term with all of the various works, as some of them will have started and some are yet to start. We want to bring them all before the Lord in prayer. And so make that effort, please, this Thursday evening. Then Saturday night, 7:30, will be the recommencement of the youth reach in the church hall, and it's for P7 and upwards. And we invite all of those young people and children, and do even let others know. There's various adverts go up on our Facebook page, and do even share them, let others know and pray over them that the Lord will bless them in these days. The service is next Sunday, and the will of the Lord, Sabbath school and Bible class in the morning, 10 a.m. The regular times of worship, 11:30 and 7:00. The regular times of prayer as well, 11 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. Do pray and do endeavour to come and to be part of those services. As we mentioned this morning, next Sunday morning will be a deputation meeting. The Reverend Jason Boyle is over at this time from Mexico. He serves the Lord there under our mission board in North America, and he is in our province at this time just for a short period of time, and we're delighted we can have him along next Sunday morning. And then the following Wednesday evening we'll show his deputation video, and it'll be on the Wednesday evening then that we lift the offering for our brother for that deputation offering. And so we do remind you of it, and we invite you and encourage you to come even next Sunday as well. There will be the regular missionary council offering next Sunday, and please do leave that in throughout the day. Continue to remember those that are sick, and we got word this afternoon, if we can encourage you to remember the Reverend Gordon Dean in your prayer at this time. Our brother was involved in an accident yesterday. He was out cycling, we're led to believe, and he was involved in an accident. He's severe injuries at this time in hospital, and do pray that the Lord be very near to him and even give that full recovery of health, that soon he'll be back once again serving the Lord in our Crossgar congregation. One other announcement just to mention, it's for the members of committee and session. The next meeting in the will of the Lord for the committee and session will be on Thursday. Now let me get this date right. Thursday the 21st of September. And all items of the agenda, brethren, please leave them in with our brother Billy over the next number of days. Let's take our hymn books once again, and we'll have our offering hymn. We'll sing together 182. The hymn 182, the page is 250. Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me, as thou didst break the bread beside the sea. I want to thank again our sister Vivian for coming and serving us and serving the Lord even today with playing. And we do welcome her son. He's got a great name, so we do welcome Timothy. And we pray that the Lord will bless him and bless Vivian even as she's been helping us today. 182, remain seated for the first part of the hymn, please.
Thank you.
Genesis chapter 1. I think I said this morning we're doing two verses tonight. You'll be excited. We're actually doing four. We're really making progress. Genesis chapter 1. I want to read together the opening five verses. Let's hear the word of the Lord together. Genesis 1, to verse 1. In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Let's just still ourselves in God's presence. As we come this evening, we want to consider together the entrance of light. The entrance of light. Let's ask the Lord to speak to us, even through his word. Father, we come to thee and we thank thee that this is the bread of life. We thank thee for thy precious word. We thank thee, O God, that we've been able to read it together. O God, we acknowledge even the freedom that we have, that we can meet in this fashion. We can read it, we can hear it being read, we can hear it being preached. And may we never take it for granted. As we acknowledge there are so many right across this world do not have the freedom that we have even tonight. And so, God, now as we come to consider what is before us, we pray for a hearing ear. We pray for a receptive heart. We pray, O God, that I will come and minister even to each one of us. Empty us of self and of sin. Fill us with thy Spirit and speak to us even now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Last week as we began this study, we considered together the great foundation, not only for this chapter, not only for this book, but indeed for all of Scripture. Genesis 1 and the verse 1 is the great foundational text. A text that has been repeated many times over, a text that has been translated into many, many languages. It is a text that has gone all over the world. Indeed, it is a text that has gone outside of the world. On the 5th of February 1970, a microfilm package containing Genesis 1 and 1 in 16 different languages and a complete copy of the scriptures were deposited on the moon by the commander of Apollo 14, Edgar Mitchell. So God's word has even went outside of the world as we know it. It truly is an amazing rock and an amazing foundation upon which this book rests. A great and a glorious truth that in the beginning God, and in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And what follows in these verses is equally unique. Because when you come to consider the majority, yea, all, almost that is found within Genesis 1, you're being invited and you're being brought into something that no human eye saw. You're being brought to consider something that no human ear heard. You're being brought to consider something that no human hand worked upon. These opening verses, as we've read tonight, when God speaks and says, "Let there be light," there were no humans there. There was no one that could testify of hearing this. God in his providence, God in his grace and mercy, has given us an entrance into something that no human ever was part of. The creations and of the heaven and of the earth was all of God. No human involvement, no scientific mind or experiment, no philosophical thought or idea. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. As we move into these opening verses to consider the opening day of creation, Let me just highlight something before we go any further. Between verse 1 and verse 2, there is no gap. There are individuals who read verse 1 and then there are the beliefs that somehow there was a great gap. And it's become known as a gap theory. That somehow there is a great distance of time between the formation of the heaven and the earth and then the bringing forth of the light and the bringing forth of the seas and the land, the bringing forth of all of the animals. And there came the gap theory. I believe with all of my heart, from Genesis 1, verse 1 to the end of verse 5, it's all one day. Creation was over 6 24-hour periods. Down to the end of verse 5 is all found in day 1 of creation. But you know, whenever you come to consider, as we find the entrance of light, as we find that God saw the light and he separates the light from the darkness, I actually see a wonderful picture of the gospel. I see a picture and a parallel of what it is in terms of before salvation and what it is for God to save. I want to leave that with you this evening. Firstly, I want you to see in the verse 2 the state of the earth. The state of the earth. It tells us the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now some might ask the question, where did the earth come from? How did it appear, or how did it come to be that whenever you read in the verse 2 that the earth was without form and without void, if God doesn't start speaking to verse 3, then how did he create the heaven and the earth? Well, I believe God did speak the earth and the heaven into existence. But in accordance with his sovereign will, those words are not recorded. Why they're not recorded, I don't know. That's the mind of God. But I believe God spoke and the heaven appeared. God spoke and the earth appeared. The reason I believe this is Hebrews 11 in the verse 3. It says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. We sang it together this evening, Psalm 33, the verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. God spoke, the heavens appeared. God spoke, the earth appeared. But when the earth was first created, we see that the earth was not what we know it to be today. Because it tells us in verse 2 that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. We think of the earth today, and maybe you look at a globe and you'll see that spherical shape, and you'll see the various lands and the various water masses. You'll see the Arctic and the Antarctic, and that's all that we can comprehend in our minds, that which we always see and that which we've always been taught. But that's not the way the earth was as God began his creation. Because whenever it tells us here that it was without form and void and darkness was upon the face of the earth, it's really given us a wonderful picture of what it means to have sin in this world. Now, I accept and I fully believe sin was not there at that stage. But we have a wonderful parallel picture. Because we're told that the earth in the first instance is desolate. You look at what it says. It says the earth was without form and void. That word for form in the Hebrew is the word tohu. And in Deuteronomy 32 and 10, it's translated as waste. In Job 12 and 24, it's translated as wilderness. In Isaiah 34 and verse 11, it's translated as confusion. And the vast majority of other references and words that are used for it is vanity. And so you have that picture whenever it's saying the earth is without form. You have a picture of the world, and even a picture of the world in sin. Because you think of the world today and you think of what sin has done to the world today, it is a wilderness of barrenness. It is filled with vanity. It's filled with confusion. Pride is the order of today. Nowadays, we know man to do that which is right in his own eyes. We do not go outside of that because man just has his own conjuring up of his own gods within his own mind and heart. He has done everything to ensure that he will not obey God. He has done everything to ensure that he will not accept what God's word is. What you have, therefore, in the world today is utter confusion. There's no peace. There's no tranquility. There's no assurance. But rather it tells us in Romans 8 and 22 that all creation is groaning and travailing in its sin. We're told here also in the verse 2 that the world and the earth was dark. It says darkness was upon the face of the deep. You think of the darkness of man's heart. You think today of how dark man is in his state of sin. There's pride. There's greed. There's lust. There's rebellion. You think of what man is capable of doing to fellow man. You look around and maybe you look into history, or maybe you look around the world and you hear of the various wars, and you can see just, and you hear it in the news on a daily basis, and yeah, even they're doing documentaries at this time about how our prisons are overcrowded because they're so full of individuals that have been involved in sin and have done illegal and wicked things. Man murders. Man steals. Man assaults. Men will start war against each other. There's adultery. And the list goes on and it goes on. You think of what nations have done to other nations in times of war. You go back even over the last 100 years, you think of what the Nazis did to the Jews, the genocides, the ethnic cleansings. You think of what they did in Rwanda, what they did in Bosnia. You think even what's going on at this time, even in Russia, in regards to Ukraine. That's nothing new for Russia. Stalin did the same. Put to death millions upon millions of people. That's the darkness of man's heart. You know, so often whenever you hear of wickedness, we can almost inflate ourselves to think, oh, we would never do anything like that. See, whenever you hear and you see of the atrocities that are possible, there go I, but for what? The grace of God. See, if God's grace is withdrawn, anything is possible in a sinful man. Because whenever you hear of the atrocities that even our own nation have suffered, willing to blow up and to murder each other, Nazis willing to round up every single Jew that they could find, go in and put to death every disabled person that they could find, the torture, the humiliation, the slaughter of innocents, that's the darkness of man's heart. That's the sinfulness and the depravity of man, that they're able to do it even to one towards another. The world today is in a terrible state. Ever since sin entered into the world, there has been desolation. You know, I think of it, and so often it's spoken about in scripturally. It speaks about how the lifespan of a man is 70 years. 70 years. You go back through history, you'll do very well to find even 70 years without war taking place somewhere in this world. Whether that be civil war, whether that be wars, one nation neighboring another nation, or whether that even be world wars, there has never been 70 years, a lifespan of one man, where there hasn't been war somewhere in the world. Man does that which is right in his own eyes. And look at the state of the land and the state of the world. Right across the world, there's desolation. Right across the world, there's darkness. And let me say this respectfully, but if you're here and unsaved, that's the state of your heart. It's desolate and it's dark. There's no form and there's no void. You know, there's the state of the earth. But then secondly, I want you to see in the verse 3, there's the speaking to the earth. The speaking to the earth. Verse 3, God said, "Let there be light." There was light. No, you think in the midst of the desolation, in the midst of the darkness, God spoke. And such an awful scene in terms of there's the earth without form and without void. There's the barrenness, there's the wilderness, there's the desolation. And God yet spoke. But did you notice what happened before God spoke? The Spirit moved. You see that? Tells us at the end of verse 2, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and then God spoke. Before we ever have a recorded word of God, the Spirit is already moving. Even though there's darkness, even though there's desolation, the Spirit is active. You apply that to the gospel in terms of the world today. What is gospel preaching? Gospel preaching is not simply a man giving you his thoughts. Gospel preaching is not some oratory exercise where a man just gets up and gives a speech. True gospel preaching is whenever preaching forth Christ, Him crucified. Yes, but preaching it forth in the power of the Holy Ghost, because in gospel preaching the Spirit is active. In gospel preaching the Spirit is upon the preacher, enabling him to preach, as thus saith the Lord. But the Spirit of God is active in the congregation. He's brooding over the congregation. He's applying and yea driving that word home to the hearts. He's convicting men and women, boys and girls of their sin. He's highlighting to them even the reality that they are sinners and the gospel is true. The gospel shows it forth. All have sinned. And the Spirit of God applies that. He brings it home. You're a sinner. Then he convinces them of their need of a Savior. Because there is no salvation outside of Christ. Then he converts them from death unto life, from darkness unto light. The Spirit moved and God spoke, "Let there be light." And there was light. What was the light in those days? In that first day of creation, what was the light? Because if you know the terms of the days of creation, you know that the sun, the moon, the stars aren't going to appear until day 4. So what was the light? I believe it was God Himself. I believe it's a revelation of God. God revealing the brightness of His glory. Just as Peter, James and John experienced in the Mount of Transfiguration. Whenever they're there with the Lord Jesus and their eyes are open and they wake up and they find there's Christ and He's glistening. His brightness of His glory is shining forth. You think of the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. The Apostle Paul, he meets the Lord, meets with him, he stops him in his tracks. What does Apostle Paul say in his testimony? Acts 26. In the verse 13, he says, "A light from heaven above," in other words, greater than the brightness of the sun, the Lord Jesus Christ. John the Apostle declared, 1 John 1 and the verse 5, "This is the message which we have heard of Him, declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." Now you think of it. The very first day of creation, God is the light. And you go to the new heavens and the new earth that are recorded for us in Revelation 21 and the verse 5. The Lord is the light once again, because it says there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. The first creation, God is light. The second creation, a new heaven and new earth, God is the light. He's the one who's shining. He shines at the beginning. And God's still shining at the end. It's God who can shine into your heart. Oh yes, we're born in sin, we're shaven in iniquity. Yes, there's a darkness, a depravity of sin upon our hearts. And yet God can shine into the very depths of our hearts. He can dispel the darkness. We mentioned a verse this morning, I do again this evening. 2 Corinthians 4, the verse 6. God who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness have shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You know, my friend, until you've experienced the light of the gospel, until you've experienced the light of God in your heart, you're in darkness. You're outside of Christ. There's no form. There's no void. There's only darkness upon your being. And yet that light can shine forth even in the very darkest of hearts. Even those that are entrenched in sin, maybe decades of sin, maybe decades of rebellion, and yet the penetrating light of the Lord can shine right into the very depths. You know, I think of the darkness of this world. You see the grace of God, the Spirit still moving. You think of what the Lord promised. The Holy Comforter remains until Christ returns. You think of the darkness that has resigned and been in this resigning all in this world right from that moment, yea, from all of creation and from the fall of man in the garden and right from that moment to this very moment, the darkness of heart, and God in His grace and mercy, the Spirit still moves. The Spirit still moving throughout the land. The Spirit still moving throughout the world. You know, sometimes we get so discouraged. Maybe we're longing and we only see the tide going out and we're longing for the tide to come in. Always remember, though the tide may be out in Northern Ireland, it's in other countries. Souls are being saved. Right across this world today, souls have been saved. In the very darkest lands, in the very darkest areas, yea, those that are under persecution, those that where the gospel is being trampled on, Bibles are being ripped up, individuals are being put in prison, yet souls are being saved. You know, we long for the abundance of rain, don't we? We long for God to move. But I remember giving the illustration in one occasion, you watch the weather. You may be watching, it's panning across, and the different weather forecasters are there, and they're showing there's 3 o'clock, there's 6 o'clock, there's 9 o'clock, and you watch as the clouds move over and they move on. But I think of God, the Holy Spirit, moving, and God, the Holy Spirit, is always at work. We might see it, we might not see it to the great extent in Northern Ireland, but God, the Holy Spirit, is still working. Souls are being saved. The church is being built. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. You have the darkness in terms of the state of the earth. You have the speaking end to the earth. But then thirdly and finally, you have the separation on the earth. Look at verse 5 with me. It says, God called the light day. The darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. This is the first mention in Scripture of division or separation. It's a topic, it's an issue that comes up, it's a doctrine that is being spoken about as you go through the Scriptures time and time again. But here in this verse is the very first mention of division and separation. That very first day of creation, God established the principle of separation. Over the days of creation, yes, He will separate light from darkness, as we read verse 5. He will separate the waters above from the waters below. Verse 6 to 8, He will separate the land from the water. Verse 9 and 10, He will separate daylight and nightlight. Verse 14, separation has carried on from even those opening 6 days of creation, right throughout time, right throughout Scripture. God commanded the Israelites to be separate from the nations. Whenever they come up out of Egypt, Exodus 34, Moses reminds them again in Deuteronomy 7, they are not to go in unto those unclean and the heathen nations. They are to remain separate, holy unto God. You come into the New Testament, Paul's writing and he's commanding them even for God, and God is speaking through him, coming out from among them, be ye separate. From day one of creation right to this very day, there is to be separation. God speaks of division. God speaks of separation. But you know, I think of the day one in creation, there's division, there's separation. And I think then of the very last day. Because there is coming a day when God in Christ will separate the saved from the lost. He'll separate, as has been referred to, the sheep from the goats, the wheat from the tares, the light from the darkness. Just as God separated in the very first day all of creation. As God and Creator, He was there and He separated the light from the darkness. And God divided it and separated one from the other. So too in the very last day. It's not this time as God as Creator, it's God as Judge. And God as Judge separates the saved from the lost. Now I ask you the question. How will you fare on that day? Where will you be? Remember, on that day, you don't compare yourself to those around you. You don't look around and try and stand with those that you think you'll get off easy with because, well, they're better or worse than you. You stand before God yourself. Just as He revealed Himself in the first day of creation. And He revealed Himself as light, and in Him is no darkness at all. He reveals Himself in the day of judgment. He sits upon a great white throne. The 24 elders are not there. The day of judgment, the myriads of individuals all gathered around the throne in Revelation 5. They've all left the scene. It's just you and Christ. He will shine forth in the brightness of His glory, just as He did in the first day of creation. If you die in your sin, or you remain in your sin and the Lord returns, the contrast between you and God will be very, very evident. You see, in that day, you're not comparing yourself to your loved ones, to your friends. You're standing before a holy God. God is holy. God is light. The separation will be there, the contrast will be there, because there's the darkness of your heart, there's the darkness of your sin, there's the darkness of your mind and your body, the lusts of the flesh. There's it all evident before God, and God's there in the brightness of His holiness. And then He separates those that are saved, remain with the Lord forever. And forever. Those that are still in the rebellion of their sin, depart from me. Now I think of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think of the beauty of His holiness. In Scripture He's defined as being altogether lovely. He's robed in white. And I think of a sinner. The darkness and the blackness of their sin. And they're standing before the one who's robed in white. No, the Lord gives a parable in Matthew 22, verses 1 to 14. It's a parable of the great wedding feast. Eventually, all the guests arrive, the king comes in. And there's one there. He's not arrayed in a wedding garment. The king immediately goes to him. How are you here? The man can't say a word. The command is given, bind him hand and foot. Take him away, cast him into outer darkness. You see what happens in that parable? There's all of the different contrast, because there's all of the white and there's all of the beauty of the wedding feast, and there's the king arrayed in all of his glory, and there's one who believed that they could still before God in the dirt and the filth of their sin. And God says, out. The light separated from the darkness. Those that die in sin, bound hand and foot, cast into the outer darkness. Separated from God, separated from the light, lost forever. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is holy, and in him is no sin at all. And so I leave this before each one of you tonight. I say this with love. You need to be saved. You cannot go into the eternity and expect to be accepted if you've rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot expect to be accepted and welcomed into heaven if you've rejected the love and the offer of salvation. The Lord promises, and if we confess our sin, he's faithful, he's just, to forgive us our sin, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, every filthy mark, every dark stain. He promises to take that robe of sin, promises to clothe us in righteousness. He promises us that home with him, that we might live with him, that we might reign with him, that we might be in his presence for all eternity. But God is light. My friend, if you die in your sin, die in your darkness, that light of the Lord you'll never experience. There is separation. It is sin that separates us from God. What do we do with our sin? Cast it upon the Lord. I lay my sin on Jesus, spotless Lamb of God. My friend, if you're here tonight out of Christ, that's what you need to do. Confess it unto the Lord, cry unto him for salvation. The Lord even now will save you. The light will shine in. dispel the darkness. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Father in heaven, we bow in thy presence. We thank thee for the revelation of God, even there in the very first day of creation, that in the midst of the darkness, in a world without form or void, God spoke and God revealed himself as the light of the world. O Father, that the light will shine into the darkened hearts tonight, that thou wilt have mercy, that thou wilt save. Spirit of the living God, even now as the voice of man grows silent, we pray that thy work will continue, that thou wilt convict, convince and convert, in Jesus' name. Amen.